Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Man Hudson. The throw caught. Hudson lost the ball. Looked like a touchdown. Instead, it's a turnover. What a turn of events. Marcus Jones. The thievery.
That was an incredible sequence for the Pats. Like, talk about a roller coaster. They're 1-0. They win 16-10 yesterday in Cincinnati. It's Patriots Monday. Here on WEEI, it's Jones, it's Keefe. We're going to talk to Andrew Whitworth, Thursday night analyst for Amazon Sports, coming up about 15 minutes from now. A little less than that, actually, more like 10. So mark that down. We'll get to what happened.
What happened?
Week one.
A lot happened.
In the NFL. So much happened.
Oh, yeah.
Tom Brady's debut. We talked about some of those rookie quarterbacks. So we'll get to that coming up. But here's the situation.
Okay.
Patriots are up 7-0. And... you know, you're looking at Cincinnati. They're very flat to start the game, extremely flat to start the game.
Yeah.
They go 3 and out. No first downs until the second quarter. Patriots have a nice drive in there. 14 plays, 80 yards. Ramondre Stevenson punches it in from 3 yards out. And now the Bengals are driving, and they're marching down the field. And they're starting to run a little bit. Burrow hits a throw in the end zone to Gesicki. We've talked about it a few different times.
Here comes the gritty. No, it's just sorry.
Mike Gesicki's dancing in your face, grittying in your face.
I forgot he was on the team. Like when he's first scrolled, I'm like, Mike Gesicki. I'm like, oh, he was on the Patriots.
Yeah. Oh, you forgot he was on the Patriots.
He was on the Patriots.
I had no idea he was on the Bengals.
Like, no, you see him and you're like, oh,
he's grittying around this jackass.
You're like, he had more plays against the Patriots than he did with the Patriots for a whole season. But nope.
And you're like, oh my gosh, Burrow, that is what a throw. And it was a great throw.
Yep.
Duggar knocks it out. Credit to Duggar.
For sure.
Duggar makes the play going to the ground. I was not a fan of that Duggar extension, but Duggar makes a play going to the ground. Very next throw, Tanner Hudson catches it on a slant or whatever it was going into the end zone.
This guy stinks.
He's reaching out, for the end zone from like the 5. He wasn't even close.
Come on, bud. You got to tuck it. I want some ball security there, bud.
He's at the 5, reaching out or wherever he was. Duggar swats it out.
Guy saw pay dirt.
Marcus Jones is able to reel that in, and it's a massive, massive swing.
Huge.
Patriots get a field goal before the half.
Oh, Joey Sly. Reliable. Nails. Yeah. Now, these weren't like deep field goals, but these were right. Every one of them. Dead nuts down the middle, wasn't it?
Yeah, I didn't feel great about the... How long was the last one? I didn't feel great about the last one in the fourth quarter. He was only a 37-yarder, but I'm like, yeah, a little bit of pressure here. I don't know about this Joey Sly
character. Sly.
Nails. He's no Chad. He's no Chad Ryland.
No, he's jacked.
Well...
it's good to have a jack kick. You know, he's jacked.
Is he jacked or is he a little...
thick?
A little thick.
No, his arms are jacked. Good definition.
Are they?
Yeah, oh yeah.
I gotta
get the tight sleeves.
I mean,
who am I?
Yeah. To accuse.
He's got the crazy tattoo that's got all the different colors on the one side.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, that guy looks like he could fight you a little bit.
Whatever. Make your kicks. You can be a little thick.
Drilling them.
Yeah.
Drilling kicks.
Drilling them. No problem
Sly
with it.
Sly guy.
So that's a massive swing though, because you go from the Bengals are tied in momentum to now you're up 10-0 at half. You're getting the ball in the second half. Huge, huge, huge swing play yesterday. And that's Joey Sly.
Joey Sly.
Well, I take it back.
On Twitch or YouTube. That's him with Carolina, obviously. But look at this. Look at a little gun show.
I take it back. That man is not thick.
Serious beard. No, he's jacked.
That's an in-shape man right there is what that is. Apologies.
Yeah.
Apologies.
Joining us right now is Joey Sly.
All around.
Joey, tell us. What's your protein regimen like?
If you thought Ninkovich was going to slap the crap out of Mac Jones,
Joey Sly's going to come down here and kick you.
Strike it from the record there, Joseph.
Yeah.
I
like him.
Strike that from the record.
But it's one of those things where it's you don't want to really talk about it until it's a problem. And there were times at the end of Gostkowski, he was kind of like playing hurt or whatever. And like that was a struggle. Then there was, remember when they just went, before they landed on Nick Folk, there was like 10 kickers in here. They're all horrible. Yeah. Then you got him, you're like, all right, that's good. And then Chad Ryland last year, who Joey Sly beat out. But in a game
to your point, if Chad Ryland's their kicker yesterday, they might not win.
They might lose the game. Yeah, 100%. Because if you're going to be a defense and running game team, kind of not mentioned in that is also kicker. Like, you need your kicker to be a weapon, because there's probably going to be a lot of times where maybe you get into scoring range, but you're not going to take that chance. Like, they tried it once, and Jacoby Brissett almost threw a pick in the end zone.
Yeah.
So you can tell, I think, Van Pelt and Mayo, especially in a game that's close or one they have the lead, Brissett's going to hand the ball off three times, and then they're going to kick it with Joey Sly. And if he's making his kicks, then, like, you'll take it.
We'll add your kicker talk to the conversation. 617-779-7937. Who's the most jack kicker in the league? You can jump in on that here on Jones and Keefe, Patriots Monday on WEEI. We'll get to the Patriots in their ceiling. Should we adjust it? We'll get to what happened. Coming up a little over 20 minutes from now, and Andrew Whitworth standing by. In the meantime, let's get to some phone calls. Tom is in Boston. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, thanks for your time. Appreciate it. I just wanted to let you guys know your fake news. You said the Patriots receivers don't get open. They get open. You said they can't block. They blocked. You said Gerard Mayo can't coach. Wrong. He coaches. He's the best coach. So the Patriots were came in for the season to get the first pick. Wrong. They're in first place.
Yep.
You said the Patriots were the worst team. Wrong. They're in first place.
Right.
And, you know, I just want to let you guys know your fake news. And I love you. I listen every day. I'll let you go. And, you know, let me know what you think.
Okay. Well,
all right, one thing I'll push back on. I never claimed that the Patriots receivers couldn't block. I was like, hopefully they can't catch.
I think those were two different thoughts.
Okay, sorry.
I think he was like, the Patriots have the worst receivers. Yep. They can get open and get a lot of yards.
Yep.
I don't know how true that is, but we'll give it to him. Yep. I think he was saying, pause, new thought, they can't block as a team. The offensive line did block, which he's right about.
All right.
So, Tom, you know what? You're not wrong. You want to get that?
News.
Yeah. You want to get your other your little mea culpa ready from earlier today?
I promise you, this is not fake news.
Oh, I'm sorry. I still have that going on.
You want to get that mea culpa ready for guys like Tom in Boston?
I did. I wanted to start with the big apology that I have.
If you could.
Let's see. Oh yeah, here we go. This is what I said. This specifically to Mayo and Van Pelt.
I'm stupid. You're smart. I was wrong. You were right. You're the best. I'm the worst. You're very good looking. I'm not attractive.
What more can I possibly say to these guys?
Yeah, what do you want?
They are in first place.
Mea culpa.
They are. Now, the number one pick's not in reach, right? They've won one game.
Correct.
We're celebrating the one win, though. Like, that's what I'm trying to do. That was a nice win. They looked like a much more professional team.
Yes.
Than Cincinnati did, than Carolina did, than the Giants did. So when we did our Tier Tuesday to start the season, we had them in a tier with the Giants and the Panthers. And whether you are taking this win and running all the way to the playoffs with it, or if you're like, hey, let's wait and see, one thing you cannot debate is they looked so much better than Carolina, the Giants, and maybe a couple of other teams.
Not even close. Washington.
Washington. Like, they are
Denver. Sorry, Keith. Denver.
Denver. They were not great.
Cincinnati.
They were not great. No, I'm saying Cincinnati. They looked a lot better than Cincinnati. Although at least Cincinnati has a track record of sucking early in the season.
Yeah,
you'd expect them to bounce back.
Patriots got them at a good time, but whatever.
I don't think Carolina is going to bounce back. I don't think the Giants are going to bounce back.
No.
In fact, my Brian Daboll first coach fired pick actually looks somewhat
decent. That's looking like a nice prop.
Yep.
My Dennis Allen when they womped on Carolina.
Oh, no. Dennis Allen might get an extension. So
you see the Giants fans. Well, I don't want to steal any thunder from what happened.
Go ahead.
But you see Giants fans were like hanging around super late just to boo Daniel Jones leaving the locker room yesterday.
Danny Dimes is not long for that job. Did any of us have first quarterback bench Danny Jones or Danny Dimes?
I don't think so. We all had Brissett, remember?
Oof. Not after week one.
Every single one of us had Brissett.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
that's
not good. Right. I had Drake May starting week two. I think that's a loss.
It's out.
That's a loss.
Unless something happens in practice with Brissett.
So look, you want to jump in and tell us how wrong we were like the last caller? Go ahead.
That's fine. That's what we're here for.
Platform all day. 617-779-7937. You know, furthermore, should we adjust the Patriots' ceiling? Should we adjust it after one game, Keith? Or, I mean, should we look at it and say, I had them for six wins coming in. I don't know if I officially signed up for a ceiling with them, but I said, I think if everything breaks right and it's a successful year, 8 wins. They could do 8 wins.
So I still think that's really high. Like, I look at it, I think it's tough overall to win a lot of games, defense, running game in the NFL. Like, that, it's such a thin margin. We talked about how, so they win by 6 points, and they had the turnover differential, and not only the turnover differential, but like where Cincinnati turned the ball over.
Yeah.
That's not like, oh, you lose it at your own 20 and it's sort of like, or the other team's 20 and it's like a long punt. It's like, no. They were about to score, didn't get it done. And I don't know.
They played from in front. They won time of possession.
Time of possession by like 8 minutes.
It was two turnovers, but also a turnover on down. So right, everything broke their way.
Trust me, I'm happy with the win. I think that there are other teams, like, you know, just strictly based off of week one. I mean, they play Tennessee, they play Chicago, they play some of these other teams that now all of a sudden I think you're going to feel are more winnable. But, like, I don't think you can overstate it still. I mean, they scored one touchdown on offense.
Yeah, no, that's true. Right. I still think the ceiling is where I had it.
Okay.
I think, you know, 8 wins would be incredible.
Like, yeah, it would. That would be a big win.
Incredible
Mayo
for this
team. Mayo be coach of the year with 8 wins.
Which is, it's sad to say, and it's not how we used to talk about the Patriots, but I think that's the ceiling now. But I wouldn't revise it. I wouldn't change it.
Okay.
It was a great win yesterday. I think Seattle week two is very winnable, and then I think they get into a more difficult portion of their schedule where reality might slap them in the face. Right, so you can jump in here on Jones and Keefe on a Monday, Patriots Monday, that is, 617-779-7937. A lot of you waiting patiently. We'll get to what happened week one in the NFL coming up a little over 15 minutes from now. But joining us right now here on WEEI, Andrew Whitworth from Amazon and Thursday Night Football. You can watch the Miami Dolphins and the Buffalo Bills on Thursday night on Prime. Andrew Whitworth, how you doing? Thanks for taking the time.
I'm good, fellas. How we doing?
Great now. I'll tell you, we were not expecting to be on today after a Patriots win, and here we are. So they were the biggest dog on the Sunday slate. What was your reaction, takeaway? Patriots beating one of your former teams, Cincinnati Bengals.
I mean, I'm going to have to be honest with you. I was a little heartbroken. I had Cincinnati winning this game. You know, I don't really do much gambling and betting myself, but I have a lot of people that reach out. Hey, man, who do you think in this game? Cincinnati Bengals should have this one. This would be a game I would have them winning without a doubt. And you know what? I got a lot of text messages of people mad at my pick.
Nice. So,
you know what? Great job by the Patriots and Coach Mayo, man. What an awesome showing for them to come out and show, hey, don't count us out just yet.
Okay, and look, a lot of us around here, myself included, we're counting them out before the year, but they looked impressive yesterday. How much of it was about what the Patriots did, which I think there were some improvements there, and how much of it was Cincinnati, who, let's face it, looked like a mess? Ja'Marr Chase, not happy with his contract. T. Higgins did not play. Joe Burrow still may not be 100%. How much of it was about the Patriots? How much of it was about the Bengals?
Well, I'll say this. I mean, I think the Patriots, you look at really in that game. I mean, I thought the way defensively they played, flying around, attacking the football, you know, tackling well, really causing some turnovers. I thought Cincinnati, you look at it, yeah, there's definitely some self-inflicted wounds there. You know, ball security at times was very poor. And then they look like a team to me that honestly has had a lot of going on with contracts. I mean, sometimes you see that. It's like, hey, you're two of your best players on your football team can't seem to get their contracts worked out with T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase. You know, it looked like a team that is kind of done that. And you're thinking about that, and now all of a sudden we got to play in a game. And it's like, hey, we've been talking about our contracts all offseason. We've been trying to figure out what's going to happen, who's playing, who's not. It looked like a team to me that, you know, was not prepared for, hey, when it's time to play, it's time to play. And it's not about contracts. It's not about all of that. It's about our weekly process to win a game. And Cincinnati did not look like they were prepared to play their best in that game. But for them, the good part is they've started most of these seasons the last 3 or 4 years, 0-2, 1-2. They've not started very well. As it is, they've shown the ability to go on runs and win a lot of games in a row when they get hot. So I think that's what they'll be talking about in their locker room today. Whereas in the New England Patriots locker room, it's about, hey, we've shown that we're better than people thought, and what can we do to go build our own streak right now, because we got some really challenging games ahead.
You know, the big debate here for the last month was, do you play the rookie quarterback, the number 3 overall pick, or do you go with the veteran and let the rookie watch for a little while? You were in Cincinnati when the transition from Carson Palmer to Andy Dalton, and he was a second-round pick who started right away. Where do you come down on starting the rookie versus letting them watch for an extended period of time?
I think the biggest thing to me is knowing where they are exactly and also what kind of football team we're talking about. I think that if you're saying, hey, we know without a question we can protect this quarterback, he's not going to get much pressure, we have a really veteran offensive line, and we feel really good about that, then maybe you play him depending on what he's shown in camp that he handles well enough. Because I think the thing is, sometimes we talk about these things like they're all the same. You know, some quarterbacks, as a rookie, they may be really developed in handling, operating the offense. But when you get in third down calls, you get in second and long, and they don't quite understand protections, and they get a little lost in some of those audibles and checks. Whereas another quarterback may be really good in that department, and maybe the other stuff, they're not really, you know, their ability to extend plays and do other things is not their expertise. I thought Andy Dalton, to me, you know, in our case, she brought him up, was a guy who really understood protections and how to protect himself and what to get the team in and out of. So there was a lot of things that showed you, oh, he can handle playing in a game really early as a young player. And I think sometimes that it comes down to things like that, is how good can they protect themselves and how well do we know up front we can play to protect them. So I think it's different every team, but I think obviously right now in this situation, I think with Jacoby Brissett, you go out and you execute and you don't have some of the little things that just rookie quarterbacks make, those little mistakes. And I think you got to see that yesterday. They go out, they play an efficient game, they turn the ball over on defense, and they run the football well, and they end up beating a team that nobody had them beaten.
How quickly could you tell during your career with a quarterback that was in the huddle with you guys whether, like, yeah, he gets it and we're like, I have confidence in him versus, like, oh, no, like, this isn't going to work? How quick could you tell?
You know what? You usually have a pretty good feel for guys in the sense of, you know, it's not really in the good moments. It's those little bad moments that come up in camp and in practices. You know, a stressful situation, maybe a scrimmage with another team, to where you see them get in some stress and really how they handle it. I always go back to, since you brought up Andy Dalton, we played the New York Jets in the preseason when Rex Ryan was there, and you knew you'd always get, even Rex in the preseason was going to give you some oddball things and looks and pressures just to, you know, Rex loved to make you look bad. And so I'll never forget Andy having that situation where there's bringing all kinds of stuff and he's handling that well. He's getting hit some. He's making some good calls, making the mistakes, but he's audibleness in and out of plays in a great, with a great poise and demeanor. And I was like, all right, this kid's going to be able to play really early because it's not rattling him. He doesn't seem panicked. He doesn't seem overwhelmed by all this. He just understands the challenge. And so I think to me, it's like those little things, you pick on them quick. And believe it or not, that's why a lot of teams, you hear the people talk about, well, go with the veteran or don't go with him, go with the rookie, depending on their demeanor. Their demeanor has a lot to do with whether teams, whether guy huddle believes in them or feels that same panic and anxiety that they feel, because the quarterback's demeanor really carries over to his entire huddle. And so I think it's really important to kind of know that. How do they handle those situations? Because it's going to reflect in your team and how they perform.
Speaking of demeanor and maybe not being totally ready, that would be my personal read on Brady yesterday. It's one game. Did you catch any of Brady on the Fox broadcast yesterday? And what do you think of the transition to the booth for, you know, arguably the greatest to ever do it on a football field?
Oh, man, I'm excited for him. You know, it's really cool to see somebody like that who, you know, look, he's the GOAT, you know, when it comes to winning championships and having team success and being a great quarterback and all the things he's accomplished individually and as a team, as a New England Patriot and as with the Tampa Bay Bucks. To be able to dominate in that way, and then you look at him off the field, all the things he's a part of and getting to do now, for him to chase something like this and say, hey, I know there's going to be exposure. I know people are going to judge how I call this game. I know people are going to have a feeling about whether I'm good or bad or indifferent, but this is something I want to do, and I want to be great at it. And I know the work he's put in, having conversations with him this offseason. I'm just happy for him, man. I mean, listen, here's inevitably, I don't care who it is, people are going to have a take on whether they like this broadcast or they don't. It's all over the board. I just think it's cool that he's chasing a passion of his, and I have no doubt the way this guy works, he will be really good at it. And whether people like him now or like him later, listen, I love football. I love the fact that one of the greatest to ever play the game has a passion to call games. I think that's really cool, and it's great for our game.
So you talked to Brady, and forgive my ignorance on this. Are you guys buddies? Did he reach out because you're in the broadcasting world? Like, how did that come about?
No, I'll just run into him at a couple different things, you know, different NFL events. Throughout the offseason. And then they actually did a mock game. You know, I helped do the broadcast for the Rams preseason game. So they did a mock game there. A lot of these broadcasters get out and do practice games lead up to the season. And so I got a chance to talk to him down the field there. And man, he's excited. And so it was cool to get to hear him kind of talk a lot of his excitement for it and to catch up. Well, two old guys, man, you know, old dudes. Don't forget it, man. The oldest quarterback to win a Super Bowl and the oldest left tackle to ever win a Super Bowl, baby. We're just fellowshipping about being old and gray. That's what we were talking about. Well, I'm gray. He's not. I don't know. Somehow he looks great, and I'm just getting older.
Well, how about that? A connection that the two of you have. We'll be watching on Thursday in a couple of weeks when the Patriots take on the Jets on Thursday Night Football on Prime this Thursday. It's an AFC East matchup. It's the Bills and the Dolphins. Andrew Whitworth, former left tackle, part of the Prime Thursday Night broadcast. We appreciate the time. We'll be watching on Thursday night. Thanks so much.
Hey, appreciate it. Thank you, man.
All right, thank you.
Andrew Whitworth joining us here on a Patriots Monday on WEEI.
Didn't get to sit on the couch for 12 hours on Sunday? Well, here's
what happened
yesterday in the NFL.
Oh, boy. Here we go, folks. It is week one in the NFL. Of course, it wraps up tonight with Jets and Niners. But we had a full slate of games here on Sunday. Let's just get right into it, shall we?
Yes.
Let's begin with Bills and Cardinals.
What happened?
I'll tell you what happened. It was a big game for one Josh Allen.
Allen keeps it himself. Allen to the right. Allen to the goal line. Lowers his shoulder. He's in. Touchdown, Josh Allen. He powered his way in.
Come from behind victory for the Buffalo Bills. Two touchdown runs, two touchdown passes for Josh Allen as they beat the Cardinals 34-28.
Sluggish start for Buffalo. And I guess in retrospect, that was to be expected. New weapons, you know, guys have left. No more Stephon Diggs.
No.
I'm assuming we'll get to later on.
We'll get to Stephon Diggs.
But Allen is the engine behind that team. You saw it yesterday through the air and on the ground. So Buffalo maybe steals one, but they got one yesterday against the Cardinals. We saw a nice dynamic kick there as well on the Cardinals
side. You did see a dynamic kick. Was it DJ Dallas?
Yes.
I believe that return of that.
You ever seen his headshot?
DJ Dallas? No. His hair crazy?
Is
it that one?
Crazy eyes.
Oh, crazy eyes.
Speaking as someone with crazy eyes.
Like Max Scherzer?
No.
Scherzer has two different color eyes,
which
I shouldn't say is crazy. That's just unique to him.
Husky eyes.
Husky eyes.
He's got husky eyes. No, yeah. DJ Dallas, a bit of a crazy eyes. Go on.
I'll have to give him a look a little bit later on. Kyler Murray, I thought, was playing pretty well. You thought maybe the Cardinals are going to pull an upset, maybe knock even more people out of their survivor pool. But no, the Buffalo Bills get the win. Let's stay in the AFC East. The Miami Dolphins were home to the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Hey, what happened?
Well, before the game, Tyreek Hill was speeding around like a madman. Oh, my God. Twitch and YouTube, this is not great for the radio audience, but Twitch and YouTube, we now have the DJ Dallas photo. Good job by Brian putting that up.
Did I tell you that, man?
Crazy eyes.
Okay, again.
Those are legit crazy eyes.
This is speaking as someone with crazy eyes, but
he's looking through me or around me. I can't tell.
Those are crazy eyes.
Crazy eyes. As for the Dolphins game, Tyreek Hill driving around like a madman apparently before the game.
Yes.
Gets pulled over, detained, and they literally stuff him onto the ground.
Yeah, tough.
They handcuff him, stuff him to the ground. I guess he was driving recklessly, maybe without a license. Did I read that as well?
Who knows?
Kind of the Scottie Scheffler business, although he shouldn't be pinned down to the ground. We don't have a lot of time. We're not going to spend our whole day talking about
police interactions. No, but you said it right. Let's compare the two. Scheffler to get thrown to the ground like that.
No.
They arrested his teammate. Not arrested. Detained Calais Campbell.
Like, what's going on here?
Cuffed him as well.
But then part of me, too, is saying when you see Tyreek Hill, you're like, oh, why do bad things happen to good people? You know, like what a guy.
True. On the field, though, that guy's amazing.
Speaking of.
Recovered in the end zone. 20. It goes back first and 10 to a 10 to Bangalore. Armstead the block, and he's going deep. He's caught Hill. Foot race. Driving. 36. Oh, he's a ghost. 80-yard touchdown.
So it was an 80-yard touchdown for Tyreek Hill. It had 7 catches for 130 yards and that score. But this one came down to the very end. Tied at 17, Dolphins and Jaguars. In the closing moments, Jason Sanders on for a game-winning field goal attempt.
And the kick is up, and it's going to be good for 52. Miami zeroes on the clock has won on a game-winning 52-yard field goal.
So if you keep a track at home, that was a comeback win for both the Buffalo Bills and the Miami Dolphins at home, who were on the brink of upset but came back to secure the win. So The three AFC East teams that played yesterday, all 1-0, Jets play tonight against the Niners. What do you think of that?
I mean, look, good start for the division.
Yep.
Tyreek Hill, interesting celebration there, getting cuffed up in the end zone.
It was an appropriate celebration.
And some of us had the Dolphins in our survivor pool, so that was a nice kick by Sanders.
Yep, that is true. All right, speaking of, you mentioned Steph Diggs in there. His new team, the Houston Texans, taking on the Indianapolis Colts. Well, he had his fingerprints all over this game.
Fourth and goal. Stroud throws. Caught. Touchdown. Stephon Diggs. His second of the game.
Couple of tugs for Steph Diggs from C.J. Stroud. Another close game. Texans with a 29-27 win. They did not cover. They were three-point favorites on the road.
Yeah, I'll tell you. The Anthony Richardson MVP bet. Shime. Not loving it
although
so
he
much.
Did throw an absolute bomb. I mean, let me tell you, Pierce. What a seed.
Three touchdowns. He had a run as well on the ground.
Yep.
So two through the air, one on the ground. I have a bet going with one of my buddies. He's a big Bills fan.
Yeah.
I bet him Tank Dell versus Steph Diggs.
Tank Dell, Steph Diggs.
Fantasy points this year.
Who do you have?
I have the Tank Dell side.
Oh, no.
Not off to a great start.
No, it's not.
No.
No, it's not. What about in the AFC West? You had the Raiders taking on Jim Harbaugh and the Chargers.
Hey, what happened?
Looks like the corpse of J.K. Dobbins is back.
Oh, man.
But this time in Spanish.
Último cuarto. Primer y diez. Sí, pero ya, de todas maneras, va a ser touchdown. J.K. Dobbins logra el touchdown.
J.K. Dobbins, 10 carries, 135 yards, and that score as the Chargers beat up the Raiders 22-10 to win their first game in the Jim Harbaugh era.
I know more Spanish than I thought, I guess. Touchdown.
Touchdown.
I didn't realize
J.K. Dobbins.
I know as much Spanish as I do.
Not
you
bad.
See Harbaugh in the locker room afterwards?
I did.
Just screaming like a wild man.
Like a lunatic. They're going to be good, though. I got them in the playoffs this year.
I mean,
Chargers are going to be good.
Look,
I mean, I know the Raiders are bad, but they're going to be good.
I thought the Raiders would be a little scrappy. I'm surprised they looked as good as they did yesterday, the Chargers.
Yeah, Raiders not that scrappy.
No.
What about a couple of scrappy squads here? The Pittsburgh Steelers and the Atlanta Falcons.
What happened?
Russell Wilson not active for the game. He's hurt. So Justin Fields was the starter. But as Terp was telling me, Russell Wilson was in uniform.
I didn't know this either. Terp told us about this before the show. He was standing there.
Shoulder pads and everything.
Wow.
Lunatic move.
That is
the psychopath move. DJ Dallas might have the eyes, but Russell Wilson has the activity.
Put them together. You got the eyes and the crazy action.
Hey, Russell, you know you're not going in the game, right?
Yeah. But
he had eye black on.
Like, what are you doing?
It was completely inactive.
Wear sunglasses, dude. You're not playing. Nice job by Brian again on the tweet. There he is. That's a game in which he was inactive.
Also, talk about looking thin on top there, Russ. Yikes.
Yeah, he went a little too tight, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe go for the two, not the one.
I believe I read this. Somebody fact check me on this. Did both kickers have three kicks of plus 50 yards in the game?
It was a big kicking game, Jones.
Big kicking game yesterday.
Was 18-10, and Steelers defense coming up big.
Seven. Cousins from a collapsing pocket. Throws an interception. Dante Jackson. In his Steelers debut. Inside the 20.
Michael Penix watch. Michael Penix watch.
That should be on.
When do we see? Do we see Michael Penix before Drake May?
Yeah.
Kirk Cousins does not look good.
When do they insert Penix? I think that's what we all want to know.
Jesus H. Is that even? This is midday radio.
Has that been used before on the radio? It's a legitimate question.
Good.
That's an X's and O's question. By the way, simple math here.
Go ahead.
The Falcons have one field goal in that game. I don't know where I read the 350 yarders.
Probably only the one, yeah.
Take that out.
Yep, they did. But Steelers start the year 1-0. That was kind of an ugly type of game, but Falcons couldn't really get anything going. Although Kyle Pitts touchdown, which is rare. Like the Dodo Bird.
You don't see those often.
It's a lot like the Dodo Bird.
That's true.
All right, what about the Tennessee Titans and the Chicago Bears? I'll tell you what happened. Simone Biles' husband made a play.
Nice. Stonehouse with pressure. A block. It's scooped up by the Bears. Back the other way. Jonathan Owens. Touchdown, Chicago.
Jonathan Owens on a blocked punt with a scoop and score. Bears beat the Titans 24-17. Will Levis threw a pick six to clinch this thing the wrong way. Will Levis was trash. Caleb Williams also trash, but they won the game.
Yeah, trash squared. Not a good weekend for the rookie QBs.
No.
As we discussed earlier,
I liked what the Titans did all offseason. Ridley, they got Hopkins last year, brought in some people around Levis. Turns out that didn't matter.
He was awful. Ridley in his debut for Tennessee, 3 catches for 50 yards. What about my guy Bo Nix and the Broncos taking on the Seahawks?
Hey, what happened?
I don't know. Geno Smith still playing.
And this offense, headlined by Geno Smith, is suddenly rolling. Smith has a man wide open. It's Charbonnet. And a Sunday stroll into the end zone for Seattle.
Comeback win for Seattle. Bo Nix wasn't good, but the Broncos did have the lead at the half. Seattle came back with a big third quarter and got a 26-20 win at home in Seattle. Kenneth Walker, who the Patriots will face next week, monster game, over 100 yards on the ground and a score.
Did he leave that game early?
Did he?
I thought he left with an injury. Now, they were up, so who knows, but they might have got
an
a good break.
Abdominal injury.
Yeah.
Abdominal monster.
They might have. He's the new Pasquatch is who he is. And so.
Yeah, questionable. All right.
Okay.
Something to monitor.
They might have got a break. Seattle going west to east. I think it's a very winnable game for the Pats. Seattle scored more than I expected on offense. Their defense looked okay, but it's against a rookie quarterback who I don't like in Bo Nix.
+3.5, Pats at home. Home dog points. Home dogs like to bark.
Take them.
Home dogs bark quite loudly.
Take those points.
What about the Dallas Cowboys and the Cleveland Browns?
What happened?
Tom Brady made his debut. We'll have much more on that coming up because we decided to give you another Spanish highlight.
A Watson en los brazos de Lawrence es justamente Parsons con su presión. El regreso desde la 40. Ya cruzó medio campo. Tiene bloqueo. Va a la 30. A la 20. Va a ser touchdown. Ya decíamos. Es peligrosísimo. Le volvieron a patear. Y tiene que montar. Turpin, la anotación para Dallas.
Justin Turpin with the punt return touchdown for the Dallas Cowboys.
Nice job, Turp.
The Browns look awful.
So bad.
Deshaun Watson, I apologize to Jacoby Brissett. I thought he was the worst starting quarterback going into the week. He is not. Deshaun Watson, until further notice, is the worst starting quarterback in the NFL.
You know what the theory is as to why Watson's so terrible?
I don't. Is it a bad joke?
No, it's a real theory.
I thought it was one of your Penix jokes.
I'm over my quota for bad jokes.
What is it?
Apparently in Houston they let him run the Clemson offense.
Oh no, Stefanski
will not let him do that. Maybe get somebody like Joe Flacco or even Jameis Winston who can run a pro style offense. But that's one theory as to why Watson looks so atrocious.
They went real bad.
His contract is absurd. It's like $72 million this year or something.
They gave up all the money in the world. It's guaranteed and a million picks. And he sucks.
Yeah,
and the team's good.
Like usually,
they didn't look good, but like they have pretty good defense.
The team around him is
not bad.
No, usually I'd say a contract can't come back to bite you. That's one that comes back to bite you.
Also, 0-1 since they let Alex Van Pelt go. Something to consider.
Hadn't considered that.
NFC South, the New Orleans Saints against the Carolina Panthers. Saints, watch out for them this year.
Shahid is now in the backfield. Carr throws. End zone, feet down. Did he hold on? Touchdown, Saints. Jawan Johnson.
Not one, not two, but three passing touchdowns for Derek Carr. None of them to Chris Olave, who's on my fantasy team. But the Saints beat the Panthers 47-10. Bryce Young picking up where he left off.
Yeah, let me tell you.
If
you took the Saints in a survivor pool, good move. I thought Dennis Allen was going to get fired right about today. They won easily. I was on the Bryce Young bandwagon as much as you can be. The Dave Canales bandwagon. Turns out the Panthers still stink.
Not great. What about the Washington Commanders with their rookie quarterback Jaden Daniels versus one of my favorite quarterbacks, Baker Mayfield and the Bucs?
Hey, what happened?
People are sleeping on Baker Mayfield.
Mayfield to the air, to the end zone, to Evans for the touchdown.
Four touchdown passes for one Baker Mayfield, and the Bucs start the season 1-0. Jaden Daniels mentioned he did get into the end zone on the ground, but they Tampa Bay with a 37-20 win. Both Evans and Godwin both looked pretty good.
Talking up that duo on Friday. I thought Godwin was done. Turns out he can still play a little bit. Evans looked great. Jaden Daniels, not enough. On the other side, you like Tampa this year, right? You have them winning the division?
Yeah, I got them winning the division. I like them over Atlanta, which, nice. Man, look, after week one anyway, look like a genius.
Score one for Keith.
And lastly, you had a good Sunday Night Football matchup. It was Lions and Rams.
What happened?
Well, it went to overtime. Both teams at times looked really good. This could be maybe a playoff preview. Detroit, I think it's going to be really, really good at home. David Montgomery was good. Jameson Williams.
Okay, I was going to say, look.
Wild card.
Look. Is he owned in your fantasy league?
Good question.
He's
I'm not sure.
He's owned in my fantasy league. Yeah. If you're not in as competitive of a fantasy league as yours truly,
yep.
Search the waiver wire for Jameson Williams
because
he was quite involved. And look, I don't think Amon Ra is going to do nothing like he did last night.
Oh, no, he'll be good.
But take a look at Jameson Williams if he's available on your waiver wire.
Also, I appreciate the gentleman on Twitter who thanked me or said I was correct for pointing out that Cooper Kupp is back and Cooper Kupp's going to have a monster season because he is off to a great start.
Keith, you influenced me. I hit a bet last night. I had Lions money line with all Kupp overs. Catches.
Kupp overs.
Yards. Touchdown. Yep. Paid well.
I love it. So there you go. There is what happened as the week one will wrap up tonight. Niners and Jets. Where the Niners are favored by 3.5 at home.
Okay.
Okay.
We'll look forward to that tonight. We'll get back into Tom Brady's weekend, which I know is very polarizing.
Yeah.
We'll do that coming up. We also have Juwan Bentley of the Patriots will join us in the noontime hour. On the way next, Chris Curtis. Really bashing Bill all day, as I understand it. That was his lead this morning. We'll get to misleading next.
It's time for misleading.
You've heard the leads on the Greg Hill Show. You've heard these?
Of course I have.
I don't think they lead well.
Would you have gone with Shimes over yours?
Damn, I don't even remember what mine was, so.
On Jones and Keith.
Oh, it's time for misleading. What did they say on that Greg Hill Show?
Oh, boy.
That we want to revisit. Often disagree with.
Yeah. By the way, you see Linkin Park has a female singer now?
I actually
added a female singer.
I did see that.
And
should I know who that was? She like a known person?
I think in the music world, okay. She was like the lead singer of like another band who I was unfamiliar with. But so they released a single and then they're going to have a new album in November. I'm here to tell you it was excellent.
Really?
Now, there was a lot of pushback on the internet because apparently she might be a Scientologist and she might have defended Danny Masterson. But she came out. No. The second thing's obviously much worse.
Yeah.
And she did come out, though, and she was like, I think she knew him. She went to, like, one of, like, she didn't know what was going on. Then once she found out how severe it was, like, she's never talking to him.
Yeah,
she's
maybe,
not friends with him.
Yeah, maybe keep it to yourself there, lady. But
she did distance herself from the one Danny Masterson.
Got it.
Just a horrible guy he is. But anyway,
I thought you were going to say pushback because she's a woman.
Oh, probably some of that.
Well, I got to be that
out
there.
They're like, oh, yeah, and Scientologist. Now I'm really mad.
Ah, rebel.
No, I thought she was really good.
Rebel.
I will give that new album a listen.
I haven't listened to it, but I told you. That hybrid theory. In my old Honda Prelude, my 1989 Honda Prelude that I was driving around sophomore year.
Nice.
That thing got some work, let me tell you.
Top two album all time, not number two?
Really?
Number one. No, it's not the number one album of all time, but it's a good album.
Top 10.
Lower.
One thing they talked about, though, with Gerard's, it was an extended Gerard Mayo interview on the Greg Hill Show. It's like 30 minutes.
Good Mayo Monday. Well,
they got his top acts, or top musical artist, I should say.
Oh, because we got the new halftime show coming
out. Yes. It was not Kendrick Lamar.
Who's his favorite? I missed this part. I thought I heard the whole thing.
It was Biggie, followed by Jay-Z. And I'm like, okay, those
are... East Coast.
I'm like,
he's an East Coast guy.
Not bad answers, just expected answers. And if you're in the hip-hop world, like Wiggy had just said, he likes Biggie as well.
Yeah.
He threw you with a Migos there at the end. Number three, Migos.
Number three.
Gets the people going, he said.
They play a lot of Migos down at Patriots practice.
I like some Migos.
Yeah.
I like some Migos.
All right.
So there you go. That was part of the Greg Hill Show this morning. But what we... maybe disagree with?
Yep.
Is that the Patriots are better off without Bill Belichick. This is a Chris Curtis take this morning, a Chris Curtis lead from this morning. How do we feel about that? Are they better off without Bill?
Well, I think they probably are. And that sounds like such a shot at Belichick where it's not. I just think it was a time for a change. I think it more had to do with roster control than it did with coaching on game day. But I think one thing that we were unsure of is, all right, what's it going to look like on game day? Because you would assume, all right, Belichick's going to have the team kind of at least maximizing what they have, right? Like maybe the players he picked aren't the best, but he's going to get the most out of them. And I don't know, after one game, Gerard Mayo seems to have also done the same thing because the roster all of a sudden didn't get more talented, but Mayo did what they needed to do. He knows that they don't have an offense that's going to light up the scoreboard. So you're going to have to play kind of possession football. You run it and then play really good defense, which they did. So you thought, all right, no Bill Belichick running the defense for the first time in 20 years. Mayo and Covington, what's it going to look like? Look great. It looked really, really good. So, yeah, I think you could still respect everything that Bill Belichick did here, but then also admit that, it was time to move on.
Look, here's what I'm going to allow for. the Patriots may not be as good X's and O's wise, though you wouldn't even notice it yesterday. I think X's and O's wise, I have no complaints. I think Mayo pushed the right buttons. He managed.
And Covington was great. Like, if he was dialing up all the stuff defensively. Joe Burrow was
first drive. They had Burrow under pressure. So like right away. So add Covington to the list as well. And I think offensively, whatever. Nothing really jumped out from Van Pelt, but like I didn't have big problems with it either. He managed the clock well compared to Zach Taylor, who managed it miserably. And so I don't have a lot of complaints about Mayo, X's and O's wise, but let's say they do drop off there, which I think is up for debate. Yeah. But let me give that to you. Emotionally, and we heard some of this from Hunter Henry today.
Oh, yeah.
When he joined us earlier, it's on the Odyssey app. You can check it out on YouTube. Subscribe to WEEI. We'll talk to Juwan Bentley about it as well. He played, and he knows how to get the guys going emotionally. And there is an element to that that I think was missing the last couple of years. So I'll allow for it. I'm not dismissing the lead today from Chris Curtis. It's misleading. Each and every day at this time here on Jones and Keefe. You can jump in on the phones. A lot of you waiting patiently. Let's reward some of these, including Jesse in New Bedford, waiting the longest. Go ahead, Jesse.
Hey, guys.
Hey, what's up?
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Hello?
Jesse, we got you.
Yeah, hello.
Hello?
We got you, Jesse.
Hello?
Hey.
Jesse?
Hey, what's up? What's up? I just want to talk about real quick. I think today a lot of people trying to say the QB controversy. Not controversy, but... you know, May can get hold off because what happened yesterday. I think the opposite. Brissett, everybody has to talk about it. Threw a pick in the end zone that Hunter Henry bailed him out on, and it was a few easy buckets that he could have had. And all I'm saying is, from if the defense can play like that in the special teams, Drake May, I think, would enhance this team considerably more than Brissett. I think we got to get him in soon rather than later.
Okay, look, I don't necessarily disagree with that take. They're just, it's unrealistic. They just won. And if you listen to Gerard Mayo this morning, Wiggy tried to ask it.
Wiggy also, even after the fact, was like, I think we are going to see May soon around. I'm like, not if it looks like this.
Oh, did he say that after the interview?
Yeah, no, he was saying, during the crossover, that he's like, I think he's saying this. And we're all like, no, not based on what Mayo was saying. I think they'll
what
take
did you this. Say? You in the crossover, you said you could hear Mayo
rolling his eyes in the car when I was driving in. You could feel it. He's like, we're talking about Drake May still? He's right. Can we give that a week? And I'm all for talking about Drake May, and that's ultimately the guy you want taking the snaps. But when you win the game, and really it was a perfectly executed game plan. I don't think Van Pelt and Mayo said, all right, we need to score 35 points to win this game. I was like, no, don't turn it over. Dominate time of possession. Brissett also, something that you would have said big advantage Drake May over Brissett was picking up first downs with his legs.
And Brissett
did
it. He did.
So he's at least got the job for a few more games.
So look, are there any of you, we haven't asked this today, are there any of you that are upset they won? Like, hey, I wanted the best pick, and they're already screwing that up. I want to see Drake May as soon as possible. Are there any of you that are pissed? Or are you happy they won week one? This is the conundrum we talked about last week. Thomas is in Connecticut. Go ahead, Thomas.
Hey, guys. So I actually wanted to say a quick word about when they, I don't know if it was Greg or somebody else on the show, but they were talking about Jacoby Brissett being benched week two, and they're saying, oh, that's probably not right.
No.
I still think one thing to consider, as good as our O-line looked, I don't know how good the Bengals' pass rush actually is. So their front seven didn't look all that great.
I disagree. I thought Hendrickson was in the backfield all day.
And he's very good. He's one of the better pass rushers in the league.
So look,
Sam Hubbard's not terrible either. Like, it's good.
If you want to tell me that Cincinnati wasn't at their best yesterday, I agree.
Yeah,
We talked to Andrew Whitworth earlier this hour. That's on the Odyssey app as well. It's worth the listen. He said, a lot of them look like they're not ready to go. Maybe they took the Patriots lightly. Maybe they're preoccupied by other things, working out their own individual situations. So, some of it was Cincinnati not ready to go yesterday and maybe focused on things off the field. I'll acknowledge that. But, no, I think that they did a pretty good job against what was a decent pass rush yesterday. I thought Brissett got hit a couple of times. He almost got hurt.
I don't think we can move the goalposts on this. We all thought Brissett was going to get pounded into the ground yesterday and get sacked four or five times. He got sacked once.
And they did well.
Yeah, no, they were good. And the running back ran for $125.
That also
factors into it.
Oh, man. So two things. Number one, their plan was Okorafor. They benched him. So they made an adjustment in-game.
On the fly,
And they went to Vidarian Lowe, so they deserve credit for that.
They went six offensive linemen a lot.
Yeah, they brought in Caden Wallace.
A lot of their packages, they were like, all right, this is what we're going to do, and that was good in the run game.
They brought in Caden Wallace as an extra tight end. You ready for this, though?
Uh-huh.
And Terp, you actually asked this before the show. Terp's like, I bet you're going to see almost all of Stevenson's rushing yards were after contact, because he Terp's a little down on the O-line, believe it or not.
Terp.
Just a little bit.
Oh, Phil not Perry. Today. Phil Come on.
How dare you? Terp. How dare you, Terp? You scored a touchdown yesterday.
Trying to celebrate a win.
In Spanish. You scored a touchdown in Spanish.
You did.
Phil Perry says per PFF, which, boy, oh, boy, yeah. Godchild came after them yesterday. Per PFF, Ramondre Stevenson forced 10 missed tackles and gained 118 yards after contact.
Oh, he's a stud.
Okay, so he had 120 yards, 118 were after contact?
Yeah.
That's not a lot with the offensive line.
No, and there were, not to take Terp's side of the street, real negative Nelson, but there were a few times where the offensive line, like, the ball was going the other way, so it didn't kill the play. But I don't think the idea was, hey, get driven back 3 yards.
No.
Like, and there'd be times where, like, the tackle's, like, in the backfield, and, like, thankfully Stevenson's, like, scooting the other way, and you're like, oh, my God.
Right.
Like, hold your ground a little bit.
Van Pelt hasn't called a lot of plays in his life, no. But I don't think that's what he was doing.
No, it wasn't perfect, but, I mean, they
better than we thought.
Way better than we thought.
Easily a passing grade, and if it can just be an average offensive line.
Oh, you'll sign up for that.
We'd all sign up for it.